the source of my song is the Savior. The reason for my singing is the man from Galilee. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song. Life is a song worth singing, though it could be a hard melody. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, He will turn the pain into perfect harmony. Oh, the source of my song is the Savior. The reason for my singing is the man from Galilee. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song. Singing is the man from Galilee. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song. Oh, the source of my song is the Savior. The reason for my singing is the man from Galilee. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song. Yes, Jesus is the source of my song.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for having us this evening. It was a really awesome opportunity that we got to come over here. We are the Heartland Baptist Bible College ministry team from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. What we do is we've been traveling around the states. We started in South Dakota, and we've been working our way down to Arizona. We're going to be in California coming up this coming week. But what we do is mostly we're just going around to different churches and singing and preaching and just helping out in whatever way possible. Like this week, we're over with Brother Hughes, and we're helping out with his food bank and really whatever else he's having us do around the church there. That's a lot. But we're just helping out churches around the states this summer. For the rest of this summer, we have about 8 more weeks that we're traveling, just helping wherever we can. And the other thing that we do, we've also been doing vacation Bible schools. I think we have 5 total. We've already done 3. So we have 2 more vacation Bible schools at 2 more churches that we're doing during this summer. And then we're going to be going to a youth camp as well. So we're doing a bunch of random stuff this summer. We're having a great time serving the Lord. We are the Crumptons. We're all family. My name's Josh. This is my wife, Lindsay, and my sister, Sarah, and my brother, Caleb. And we'll all kind of give our testimonies, kind of give our stories and our years. After we sing a couple more songs, we'll do that. So we really appreciate y'all having us today, and now we'll sing a couple more songs. Yes, sir. Number 7.
I'd be searching for meaning so empty inside, if not for the love of Christ. Now I could pretend that I'm satisfied, make you believe I'm enjoying the ride, but the smile on my face would be a disguise.
Love of Christ, oh, the love of Christ, no finer treasure, no greater prize. I can't imagine living my life if not for the love of Christ.
No mercy to cover all my mistakes. There'd be no peace through my darkest days. And no hope that I ever see paradise if not for the love of Christ.
The love of Christ, oh, the love of Christ. No finer treasure, no greater prize. I can't imagine living my life if not for the love of Christ. The love of Christ, oh, the love of Christ. No finer treasure, no greater prize. I can't imagine living my life if not for the love of Christ. If not for the love of Christ.
Amen. We tend to make excuses. We tend to pass the blame. We fail to see our failures as more than just mistakes. We can see the wrong in others, overlooking the evil within. So Lord, help us to confront our hearts, to confess and forsake our sins. For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part. But confession and repentance would be a healthy start to fix the heart of the problem, the problem of the heart. The heart is so deceitful, so desperately wicked within. And just the time I think I'm fine, I've deceived myself again. So create in me a clean heart, one that's faithful, pure, and true. And search my heart and try me. Help me, Lord, to follow you. For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part. But confession and repentance would be a healthy start to fix the heart of the problem, the problem of the heart. For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part. But confession and repentance would be a healthy start to fix the heart of the problem, the problem of the heart.
Amen. Now at this time we're going to do a couple of testimonies. see. I guess something I've learned most since I've been at school, I just this past semester finished my third year of Bible college there at Heartland Baptist Bible College, finished my junior year, and ever since freshman year, I've learned so much, but really the main lesson that I have learned is not being prideful, not being selfish. Through my whole years of being at school, and really even in high school before I got to school, I did not like speaking in front of people. And I know that's a fear with a lot of us, is just simply speaking in front of people. What are they thinking about me? What are they thinking about what I'm saying? Am I being good enough? Am I a good enough speaker, you know? And that's something that I've always struggled with, like, a lot. And I was really comfortable, like, getting up here and singing like we're doing, because I've done that my entire life. My dad was a traveling evangelist, and we traveled with him as a family. Me and my brother and my sister, and there's two more brothers. We all traveled together in an RV for 17 years, and that was 15 years of my life. So they were doing it before I was even born. I was born on the road, pretty much. But we sang all our lives. I was comfortable with singing in front of people. But I didn't like talking in front of people. I didn't like that. Because I didn't think that if I was speaking in front of somebody that I would maybe live up to the level of how I can sing in front of people. So I thought that people already thought that I should just be comfortable speaking. You know, people think, oh, he can sing in front of people, fine. He's not nervous in front of people, so he can speak. So I thought, since they're thinking that about me, I need to be a good speaker, but I knew I wasn't. So every time that I got up in class, that I had to, like, teach a class or teach a Bible lesson in front of my classmates, and they all had grading sheets, or, like, in the practice preaching class, they all have grading sheets, and I have to preach a message in front of them, and I'm always constantly thinking, what are they thinking about me? And I've learned so much that it's not what they're thinking about me, and that it's all of that was me and my pride wanting to live up to a certain level of awesomeness that I already thought I was at, which I wasn't. But I wanted to be good at whatever I did, and how I dressed. I wanted people to think that I was a classy dresser, you know. I wanted people to think I was looking fine. But every day I was living so that others might look at me, or that I was looking for recognition from others. And the Lord really broke me one time when I was really, actually two or three times. Actually, all my life he's been breaking me, but my sophomore year in the teaching Bible class, I got up and I was teaching in front of my classmates, and I was stuttering all over the place. I couldn't keep my place in my notes because I was constantly thinking about what they were thinking about me and not about what the message that God gave me to give them. And I really, and even this past semester, practice preaching class, it was a lot more intense than sophomore year when I'm just, you know, teaching. I was supposed to learn how to teach to kids then. Now I have to learn how to interpret the Bible and bring a message and all the particulars that we've been learning about in class. I have to do all that in my outline. And I wanted to do everything just right. But I wasn't doing it for the right reasons. I was doing it so that I might look good in front of my classmates, or so that the teacher would give me a good grade. I wasn't doing it for the honor and glory of God. I didn't ask him to help me just present a message to my classmates. I asked him to help me not to mess up or not to look bad in front of my classmates. But I knew that I wasn't doing the right thing, and like I was stuttering through that too in my practice preaching class. I was stuttering. I couldn't keep my place in my notes because I was thinking about what all my classmates were thinking about me. And the Lord really just broke me. And after that, I went to my truck and I bawled like a little baby. I was crying. I felt like a failure because I didn't live up to what I wanted to live up to. And then through a series of events, I just realized that I don't need to be a part of the equation at all. In anything that I do, it shouldn't be about me at all.
Amen.
It should always be about, first of all, the Lord, and second, about others.
Amen.
And it's not that it's like God plus me, then others. It's God and others. Like, me has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
And, you know, over the past few years, that's been the main lesson that I've learned, is that it's not about me. It's not about me at all. And I'm still learning. I still struggle with it. We all and all of us in some way or another deal with pride.
Amen.
And selfishness. We want what we want, and we want it our way. So, I guess over this next year, I'm looking forward to some other lessons that the Lord's going to teach me. I know. Got one more year of school, and I'm looking forward to it. And this is my wife, Lindsay. We've been married for 6 months now, and she's going to tell you a little bit about how her life happened.
Well, like you said, my name is Lindsay, and we have been married for 6 months. And I am not a student at Heartland Baptist Bible College. I had intended to go in 2014 after I graduated from high school. I applied, got accepted, and was all ready to go, but the Lord kind of stopped me in my tracks through some health problems, and I didn't get the opportunity to attend. But he really showed himself strong. I had made plans for myself. I was a pastor's daughter, and I just felt like since I was a pastor's daughter, that was the place for me. Felt like pastor's daughter should go to Bible college, and God just showed me that sometimes the plans for myself aren't even in comparison to his plans for me, and how that his plans can affect me and change me. And when we got married, Josh and I got to go to Oklahoma, and not necessarily be a student, but to just observe class life and watch, you know, just how Heartland Baptist Bible College and Southwest Baptist Church just interact in everyone's lives there. And it's really a family and an opportunity just to teach and to learn. And it really, although I'm not a student and I really don't feel that it's God's will for me to go, it's truly an honor that they would allow me to be a part of a group and allow me to travel along and just maybe not so much me strictly here to represent, but me here to learn. And I appreciate y'all letting us be here today, and we appreciate this chance.
Amen.
All right, now we're going to sing an a cappella song called Out of His Great Love. Let me get the right key. C sharp. Out of His Great Love.
Out of His great love He lifted me up, set my feet on a solid rock. Out of His great love I found the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love
I had gone astray, I had lost my way, when I called upon His name. Then He rescued me, now this song I sing. Oh, what a loving God is He.
Out of His great love He lifted me up, set my feet on a solid rock. Out of His great love I found the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love.
Now I shout His praise through all my days for His endless mercy and grace. There's no other one who has greater love. With joy I will ever say,
out of His great love He lifted me up, set my feet on a solid rock. Out of His great love I found the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love, out of His great love He lifted me up, set my feet on a solid rock. Out of His great love I found the meaning of salvation, out of His great love. Salvation out of His great love.
From the journey, beaten from the struggle, straining to see His hand at work in me. In the middle of confusion, my doubts and illusion, I wonder if God is even listening. But when He speaks, I know His voice. When He speaks, my soul does rejoice. When He speaks, my heart knows no fear. Oh, the peace when He speaks. I've struggled with the answers in a sea of trouble, drowning in the waves of the ocean's tide. In my desperate situation and present complication, I look for a safe place to run and hide. But when He speaks, I know His voice. When He speaks, my soul does rejoice. When He speaks, my heart knows no fear. Oh, the peace when He speaks. When He speaks, I know His voice. When He speaks, my soul does rejoice. When He speaks, my heart knows no fear. Oh, the peace when He speaks.
Amen. And at this time, my sister Sarah is going to give her testimony as well.
Okay, well, I was saved when I was 8 years old, and it has been so great and wonderful to grow up with God. And whenever I was a senior in high school, I was trying to decide whether to wait a year or go right to Bible college. And through God's leading in my life, and through His authority, through just staying close to Him, I chose to wait a year before I went to college. And I'm so glad I did, because during that time, my 15-year-old brother passed away, and had I gone right off to college, I just don't think I could have done it, and God knew that. And so I was very thankful for God's leading in my life in that way, and I am so glad I went to Heartland Baptist Bible College, and I have learned a lot there. I was a missions major, and I graduated in 2014, and was all just taking in all the classes and ready to go off on the mission field somewhere. Had a burden for foreign missions and just wherever God would lead me. Well, when I graduated in 2014, I didn't have anywhere to go. There wasn't really an opportunity to serve anywhere that came up, so I just went back home to Heber Springs, Arkansas, where we're all from, and served at the church where my dad is pastor, and learned a lot about faithfulness, just staying faithful to where God puts you. And even though you might not necessarily choose to be there at the time, just staying faithful is really what God showed me. After that year, then Heartland called me and asked if I would come back to work on staff at the college. So I've been working there for 2 years as the Campus Service Center Supervisor, which is a big title for the mail lady. I sort the mail at the college and also do printing there, print their class notes and mail out different things that they do through there. And it's such an honor and privilege to serve there with them, and really gotten close to the staff there. They're like family, and they showed me what the real love of ministry is. Just loving God and loving people, and that's the heart of Heartland, and I'm so glad that I got to go there and had the privilege to go there. At the end of the summer, whenever we're done, I'm getting married August 26th. I am so excited. Just that's a miracle too. It's a really long story, but I'm very glad that I'm marrying a man named Randy. He's from my home church there in Arkansas, and he never went to Bible college and had a completely different background than I did. But I'm just so thankful that God brings things in your life and makes it obvious just what you should do as you follow him. And it's just neat to see God's working, and I'm so excited for what's going to be next.
Clouds, he sees clear skies. He's About what time do y'all normally get done, Pastor?
Whenever you get done.
Whenever. I'm just kidding. It's going to be really short. This is my first time this summer to preach in a church service, so kind of nervous, but I'm going to start by giving my testimony, partly because that'll take up some more time, but so I guess I'll just give a recap of my first year of Heartland. My senior year of high school, I did not want to go to Heartland, didn't want to go to Bible college at all. My sister Sarah had gone, my brother Josh had gone, and I felt like the people around me were expecting me to go to Heartland, and I didn't like to be expected to do something, because that was my pride. So that immediately made me balk. I didn't want to go to Bible college. I wanted to stay home and be a mechanic or a welder or something, anything but what God wanted me to do. So my dad asked me, he said, would you just go to college days? I'm not saying you have to go, just go to college days and see how things work, and maybe you'll change your mind. I said, okay, I'll go to college days, but I don't want to go to Bible college. So I went there, and college days is just a time where they let prospective students visit the different classrooms, go to church services, go to services at Southwest Baptist Church, and just so you can kind of get to know the college. And through my time there, those just 2 days, I realized that Heartland Baptist Bible College and Southwest Baptist Church had a heart for God and a heart for people. And I finally surrendered to God. I wanted to be trained for the ministry. I want to witness to others. I want them to have the joy that I have in Christ. And Heartland is a great place to learn it. And so I went. The classes are a huge blessing. I've learned so much, especially the Bible study classes, just showing you how to break down a Bible passage and glean all the truths out of it and applications out of it that you can. It's been a great help to me. So there's the school side of it. The job side of it was something different. I went there thinking Oklahoma City is a huge place. There's all kind of jobs. And I'm a good, hardworking man. I have a good work ethic. Who wouldn't want to hire me? So no one did. I put out like 25 applications just looking for a place that would hire me. No one was calling back. I was calling again saying, have you looked at my application? They're like, oh, we're full, or no, we don't like your schedule, or your hours aren't going to work for us. So I called Dad and just complained to him, and he showed me some scripture, just a really good verse in Psalms that had, why art thou cast down, O my soul, hope thou in God. And it encouraged me, and I asked for forgiveness of being angry that I couldn't get hired. And the next day, my sister, who works there on staff, called me and said, are you still looking for a job? I said, yes, very much so. This is about 4 weeks in to Bible college. I've got a $500 payment coming up that I had no money for. And so Miss Benita, that works on staff there, was called by someone looking for warehouse workers. And she asked me if I wanted the job. I said, yes. She said, well, they're doing interviews down there. Just go down there whenever you can and see what happens. So I went down there pretty much right away because didn't have anything to do, didn't have a job. So I went down there, and as soon as I walked in, the manager looked at me and he said, are you a Heartland student? I said, yes. You looking for warehouse work? Yes. Well, you're hired. Just come in here and fill out this application, and we'll get you going. I was like, great. So I started out. I barely made that first payment. I was about a week behind, and consecutively the other payments a week behind, but I got through that first semester, and God was good. It was great. Second semester, I came back. The payments are a little bigger in the spring semester, so I barely made it through that one as well. But about 3 weeks into second semester, a friend of mine from back home in Arkansas, where I'm from, called me and asked me if I wanted a summer job after I finish that semester of college. And I said, sure. He said, well, call these people. It's a highway crew, and they'll probably hire you. They hire summer job people all the time. So I called them, and they hired me over the phone. And they said, yeah, we'll start you out at $9.50. I don't know what minimum wage is here, but it's probably $10. But minimum wage there is $8. So they were going to start me at $9.50, which was good for there. And I was going to save up and pay off my next semester of college right up front and not have to worry about it. But then Heartland asked us to pray about being a ministry team traveling for this summer. And my first thought was, no, absolutely not. Why would I do that? I have a good job set up. I'm going to go, I'm going to make a bunch of money, and I'm going to come back and have an easy semester of college. But I said I'd pray about it like a good Christian should. So I did. I went home, prayed about it, and we prayed together as a group. And so through prayer and reading the Bible, God just asked me, said, Caleb, why are you here at college? I said, to learn about ministry. And what are they asking you to do? Be on a ministry team. And he said, so money or ministry? I was like, ouch. So here I am. I obviously chose ministry. God worked on my heart about that. So that was my recapped year, and up to here, God has taught me a lot this summer. Like Josh said, thinking of others, it's hard to do because we love ourselves. But God has really shown me a lot, so there's my testimony. So Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 24 through 28. Hebrews chapter 11, 24 through 28. So here we go. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Let me pray before I get into this. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for just an opportunity to bring your word before your people. Lord, I thank you for the pastor here giving up his pulpit on a Wednesday night, Lord. It's something I don't take lightly. And Lord, I pray that you would just help me to give your message to these people, Lord, and help me to keep my thoughts clear. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is steady in allegiance, it's affection, it's constantly loyal, it's constantly constant. It's how we remain faithful to God. That is what I want to talk about tonight. So let me read verse 24 again. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Number one, Moses stayed faithful by refusing. Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's house. We all know the story of Moses. She found Pharaoh's daughter found him in the river in a basket because his mother saved his life from Pharaoh that was killing all the Hebrew children 2 years old and under. So he was rescued from that and brought up for 40 years in Pharaoh's house, which is a long time. to be under that influence. But even though he was influenced like that, he knew his purpose. He knew who he was and that God had called him to deliver his people. So the lesson we learn from that is, as Christians, we should refuse to be associated with the ways of the world. Their music, their language. It's just, we don't need to act like the world. The Bible says we're to be a peculiar people. We're to be different. And it's easy sometimes to blame our surroundings, blame how we were brought up, blame our environment. But if anybody had a worldly upbringing, Moses did. He spent 40 years in the middle of Egypt in Pharaoh's house, which in the Bible is a picture of the world. So we should refuse to be associated with the world. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 2, Moses stayed faithful by choosing. He chose to be with God's people. Amen. He chose to suffer with God's people, and there was suffering. There was a lot they had to go through to get out of Egypt. And let's see. There will be suffering if you go with God's people. But what do we have to compare it to? Being lost. Amen. Being in the world and ultimately going to hell, spending an eternity there. But we have hope in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Moses knew that in suffering with God's people, he was serving God's purpose, because he knew that the Egypt, he knew that he had it good in Egypt.
That's right.
He had everything he wanted. He was a prince. He was royalty. He was a prince. He had everything that was humanly available. But he gave that all up to suffer with God's people. And that's a great example for us as Christians. We should choose to reject the world and its ways and follow God. Verse 26. Moses here, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses stayed faithful by esteeming. Even in the suffering that Moses was going through, he stayed faithful by keeping God first in his life. God was more important to him than the riches he had in Egypt, because he knew what God had in store for him. As Christians, we should keep God above everything else. Our job, money, even our family. We should put God above everything in our life. And it's easy during suffering, it's easy to seek God and seek him first, because we're on our last leg and we have no idea what to do. But even in good times, when we have everything together, so to speak, we should still keep God first and trust him for everything. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses stayed faithful by forsaking. When Moses left Egypt, he forsook it. He didn't just leave because he knew he was supposed to leave. He knew it was wrong to be there and just do his own thing. He left Egypt and pursued God.
Amen.
He pursued God and what he had for him. As Christians, when we come to the altar, we lay down our sin. You know, God, forgive me for what I've done. It was wrong of me. And then we get up and just try to live life without doing that thing that we said we wouldn't do, without that sin. And most of the time, we just try to do it in our own power. say, I've asked forgiveness, so I'm just going to not do that anymore. But we don't replace it in our lives with another good thing, a godly thing. You know, say you say you're listening to the wrong kind of music. God convicts your heart, say, I shouldn't be listening to this, and you just get it out. And then you try to go through life with no music in your life. It's never going to work. Because if you just get rid of that and don't have anything else, you're going to be thinking about that still. And eventually your mind will work its process, temptation will come, and you'll go right back to it. Right. You need to replace that music that you've gotten rid of, that you've gotten out of your life, with good godly music, good solid hymns, or like what Heartland puts out. Yeah. I like Heartland's music. But, so yeah, that's just a good example of we can't just try to stop sinning. We need to pursue God and His righteousness. And when you get rid of that old music and replace it with good music and you're focusing on God, when that temptation for that old music comes, it'll be a whole lot easier to resist it.
That's right.
Because your focus is in the right place.
Amen. Preach it,
Caleb. Verse number 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Simple truth in this verse. The last plague on Egypt was the death angel came through and killed all of the firstborn of Egypt. And in order for the children of Israel to escape that as well, God instructed Moses to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost and the top of the door there. And when the death angel saw that, he would pass over them because the blood of the Lamb covers it, which is a great picture of salvation. But the simple truth that I get out of this verse is Moses stayed faithful by keeping. Moses kept God's commandments. He received God's instructions and then acted upon them, did what he was supposed to do. If we want to stay faithful, we have to follow God's commandments. And where are God's commandments found? In His Word.
Amen.
We need to live our lives by what this book says. I believe this is the Word of God, and it's perfect in every way. We should follow its commandments if we want to stay faithful to God. So in closing, I just want to ask some questions. Are you faithful? Are you staying faithful? Do you refuse to be associated with the world so that when people look at you, they say, there's something different about that person? They don't look like we do. They don't think like we do. I can tell by the way they act. But if you're acting like the world, they're not going to see anything different, and they're going to think, why do I want the Christian life? They don't behave any different than I do. Are you refusing to be associated with the world? Are you choosing to be associated with God's people? Are you choosing to live your life as best you can in service to God so that you will be rewarded for it later? Are you keeping God first in your life? Are you keeping Him above making money, above having a nice car? Are you keeping Him first? Are you forsaking the world and pursuing God's ways? Are you trusting Him to know how to take care of you? And lastly, are you in His Word? Are you faithful to read His Word daily? Is a good idea. Stay in His Word and do what it says. Follow God's commands. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that you've given me to